blessed us to see the dawning of a new day, who gives us all that we need, who has provided us a means to come home, to live with him throughout the ceaseless ages, in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Certainly, we thank him for this opportunity to gather inside of these walls without the fear of molestation, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank all who have come this morning to be a part of the service, and especially if you are visiting with us, we count you as our honored guests. We trust that you will enjoy your stay with us on this day, so much so until you want to come again and again. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament, we hope that you would find an interest in obeying the Lord and being added to that church so that you might have the hope of going to heaven and spending eternity with God. So saying that, or having said that, if there are any questions about anything that you see that happens here among us as we worship God, please don't leave without those questions being answered, or at least without setting up a time that you can have those questions answered. We want to make sure that you understand why we do what we do, and we do it because it is according to the Word of God. So again, thank you for being with us on this morning. The next song that will be sung at the conclusion of our lesson this morning is entitled Softly and Tenderly. That song is talking about the fact that Jesus is calling us. He wants everybody to come to him and to follow him all the way to heaven. And so when we stand to sing that song, if you have not begun your walk with Jesus, again, if you're not a member of the body, the church, we want to encourage you to do that before it's everlasting and eternally too late. One day, he will cease his pleading, and we'll have to stand before him and give an account of everything that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So it will do us all good then to fear the Lord and keep his commandments, because that's our whole duty. This morning, I want to share with you a lesson entitled, Things We Should Never Forget. Things We Should Never Forget. The Hebrew Christians had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and were now struggling, this is in the time of this writing, with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the persecutions that they were undergoing because of their faith. And they were on the verge of slipping away or going back to the old law, which could not save them. So having been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ and how they should live after obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Hebrew writer, by inspiration, encouraged them to pay close attention to the things that they had heard, lest at any time they would let them slip. Verse number 1 again says exactly that in chapter 2. Therefore, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If they did not pay close attention to what they had been taught, they would be prone to forget these things, and they would slip away And thereby, if they stood before the judgment seat of Christ, they would receive the consequences of their negligence. Verses 2 and 3 points that out. If we look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3, number 2, we should say, the Bible says this, as a result of what he has just said, you ought to give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then he goes on and he says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and he says, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He says, you understand, and you know from Old Testament times, this is what he's referring to, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, since you know that, then how shall we escape, he says, if you neglect so great a salvation? That's why you need to give the more honest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip, or lest at any time you should forget them. I want to say to us this morning that we've been taught the Word of God, and we're studying it, hopefully, each and every day. And the same admonition that these Christians were given by this inspired writer, that same admonition is to us today, that we need to pay very close attention to the things that we have been taught, the things that we are studying, the things that we know and learn about Jesus Christ, the will of God. We need to pay very close attention to them, so that we don't let them slip and so that we don't forget them. There are some things that we have learned about the Word of God that we should be familiar with, that we need never forget these things. And I call them this morning, we're going to talk about 5 of them very briefly, that we should never forget. Because if we forget them, if we slip away from them, if we don't pay close attention to them, we will stand before our God in the judgment, not prepared to meet him. The first thing we should never forget that we have learned from our study of the Word of God, and I hope all of us this morning in here believe in the Word of God and believe in what you've studied. And if you haven't run across this in the Word of God, I hope and trust this morning that you'll go back and review it, these things that we're talking about. Number one, we should never forget that life is uncertain. In other words, we are not in control. Life is uncertain. Therefore, knowing that life is uncertain, there are several things we need to do as a result of knowing that life is uncertain, and it's talked about in the Word of God. We need to avoid making unwise plans for the future. Let me say that again. Because life is uncertain, the Bible teaches us that life is uncertain, we need to avoid making unwise plans for the future. Notice I didn't say don't avoid making plans for the future. I said avoid making unwise plans for the future. Why should we avoid making unwise plans for the future? Because Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. To boast of what we are going to do tomorrow and to think that we are in control and that we are going to do it is very unwise. Because we don't know what will happen on tomorrow. So we need to avoid making unwise plans for the future. Now, James says it like this, as he is inspired to write to the Christians. In James chapter 4 and verse number 13, notice what he says. He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, notice something about the statement that has just been made. There are three presumptions that are made in this verse here. Presumption number one is that we're going to go into such a city. How do you know you're going to make it there? Are you in charge? Are you in control that you're going to make it to that city? So presumption number one is that you don't know, we don't know whether we're going to see tomorrow, as I've said. We don't know whether we're going to make it to the city. Presumption number two is that we're going to continue there for a year. Are you in control? We don't know that, do we? How long are we going to stay, even if we make it to the city? We have no control, well, how long we're going to stay there. And presumption number three, he says, we're going to buy and sell and get gain. We're going to buy and we're going to sell and we're going to make a profit. We don't know that. So it's bad to make unwise plans for the future. James says the reason why you need to avoid this is because life is so uncertain. The next verse tells us this. Verse number 14. Whereas you know not what shall be what? On tomorrow. For what is your life? It's uncertain. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanishes away. How many people have started out on a journey? And I don't mean this to be a morbid story this morning, but how many people have started out on a journey and got killed along the way? So that presumption is a false presumption there that they're going to make it to the city. So he says life is just like a vapor. It's just like a puff of smoke. It's you see it, and then you don't. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Somebody would say about the death of a particular person, I was just talking to that person just the other day, or just this morning, and they're no longer here. That tells us that life is so uncertain. So we should avoid making unwise plans for the future. James says, here's how we ought to approach that situation. The next passage, he says this, for what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So it's all right to plan to go to the city. It's all right to plan to stay there for a year. It's all right to plan to buy and to sell and to get gain. But James says all of that ought to be predicated on if the Lord will that we should live and do that. Why? Because life is so uncertain. We're not in charge. We don't control our destiny. So we need to then avoid making these unwise plans for the future. Now, since we know life is so uncertain, then here's what we can do. The moment that God spares us with, the hours that God spares us with, the days that God spares us with, the weeks that God spares us with, the months that God spares us with, if he so wills, and the years that God spares us with, if he so wills, we can use that time wisely. And Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. He says, see then, that you walk circumspectly, very carefully, not as fools, but as wise, doing what? Redeeming
the time. Making the best use of the time. You don't control the time, but at least you can control what you do with the time. Do you understand that? We don't control the time, but we can control what we do with the time that God bless us with. But we will allow the devil to cause us to think that since I'm here today, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And if I live to see tomorrow, then we'll think I'm going to be here the next day. If the Lord wills, we will. But if the Lord wills not that we're here, we won't be. So we need to just use whatever time God blesses us with wisely, doing the right thing, so that we'll be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. And the reason why we should redeem the time, because this is the only time that we'll ever have, is the time that God gives us with. After this time, there'll be no other time to redeem, to do the things that are pleasing and acceptable, as Brother Montgomery prayed in his prayer this morning, in the sight of God. That's why the Ecclesiastical writer said it like this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10. He says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Cannot we see the necessity of redeeming the time, of using our time wisely? Because this is the only time we have. This is the only time and the only life that we have to get it right. So life is uncertain. Let us never forget that and think that we control time. We do not control time. So we need to do the best we can with the time that God gives us with. And another reason why we need to never forget life is uncertain is because two things may happen. It may end when it's least expected. Number one, Christ may come at any moment. Have you realized that Christ could come right now? Christ may come at any moment. And this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 24. In verse number 42, he said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this," he says, "that if the good man of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up." Verse 44, "Therefore," he says, "be ye also ready." That's present tense. Be ready all the time. "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And all these folks that have been going around here predicting when the end of time is going to come, don't put any stock in that. They don't know. The Bible says Jesus himself doesn't know. Only the Father knows when that will be. But it could be, it could be right now. That's why we need to redeem the time. That's why we need to never forget that life is uncertain. Because, number one, Christ may come at any moment. And number two, as I've already made reference to, death may come at any moment. So, Christ may come at any moment. Death may come at any moment. I don't care how healthy that we perceive ourselves to be. We may have gone to the doctor and have gotten the best bill of health. They may not have picked up anything, or it may not be anything there. God just may decide it's time for me to go. Life is so uncertain. So never forget that life is so uncertain. Therefore, then, let us redeem the time. And speaking about death, another thing that we should never forget is that we're going to die. Death is sure, unless, of course, Christ come first. So death is sure, number two. Never forget that death is sure. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 points it out. It says this, wherefore as by one man, and we know that one man was Adam, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon who? All men. For all have sinned. So death is sure. It is certain. While life is uncertain, death is certain. Never forget that death is certain. It is an appointment that we got to keep. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, the first part of that says, for as it is appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment. It's an appointment that you can't scratch off your calendar. You can't call it up and say, cancel it. You can't decide within your mind that I'm just going to avoid it. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Death is sure. Let us never forget that. And I know the devil will cause us to think sometime to think that we're going to live forever. Well, if we go home with God, we will live forever. As a matter of fact, we are going to live forever somewhere. But we don't want to just live somewhere. We want to live where God is. Death is sure. So it cannot be canceled. It cannot be avoided. But since we know it's sure, one thing about death, we can make sure that it's precious in the sight of God. And you know how that happens? Well, according to the book of Psalms 116, and verse number 15, the Bible says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. By being one of his saints and being faithful in his service, when we die, our death will be precious in the sight of the Lord. I want my death to be precious, don't you? In the sight of the Lord. So I must then be in the Lord, and I must be faithful to the Lord. And I must die, of course, in the Lord. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. It's so blessed. It's such a wonderful thing to die in the Lord. And I want to say this morning again to us, let's make sure that we don't die out of the Lord. Make sure that you're in the Lord. But again, since life is uncertain and death is sure, then you need to be in the Lord right now. You need to think about that this morning, that if you're not in the Lord, you need to get in the Lord or by obeying his gospel. So the Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse number 13 again, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Oh, don't you want to die in the Lord? Don't you want your death to be precious in the sight of the Lord? But you must realize then that death is sure. And you don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to worry about death. You don't have to just go into a cocoon and say, oh, I'm so afraid that I'm going to die. If you're in the Lord and doing the will of the Lord, again, it can be precious. Again, you'll be blessed by dying in the Lord. And again, the Bible says Christ has taken the sting out of death. So we must have faith and believe that death can be beautiful for the child of God. Again, I don't want to sound morbid, but these are some realities that we need to think about, that we're going to die. But let's make sure that our death is precious in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse number 57, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The adult Bible school on Sunday morning is studying from the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews, the second chapter, points out that Jesus took the sting out of death so that those who fear death don't have to fear it anymore. That's for the precious child of God who will not fear death. So I'm saying to us this morning, since we know death is sure, let's be faithful to the Lord so that when our time comes to die, we don't have to worry about it. I hope I'm helping somebody this morning, and I hope I'm helping somebody not to forget the things that we have heard. Because if we forget those things, then we'll let the devil take us down the road, and we don't want that. So death is sure. Well, another thing that we don't ever want to forget is that eternity is long. We're going into eternity when we leave this world. Eternity is long. Don't ever forget that. The Bible teaches us about eternity. As a matter of fact, if you look at a scripture in Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 through 2, the psalmist says, "Here, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." And then verse number 2, he says this, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." That's eternity. Everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting is eternity. As a matter of fact, there's a translation that renders that eternity. In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, notice what it says. It says this, "Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to in eternity, you are God." So eternity is a long time. Eternity, there's no end to eternity. Well, there's no problem for those who are at peace with God when they go into eternity. No problem with them. But you know what? When people are not at peace with God, when they go into eternity, there's a great problem. There's a great tragedy awaiting them. There'll be no end to their doom. We don't want to be doomed, do we? And certainly we don't want to be doomed, and that doom doesn't have an end. That's what eternity is all about. No end to their doom. Their punishment will be forever. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 25. After Jesus was concluding those statements there, that he had talked about those that had ministered to his needs by ministering to somebody else. Then others who didn't minister to somebody else, he said, I'm summarizing what he says. You didn't minister to my needs. But then he says this in verse number 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And he says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Eternal punishment. Punishment with no end. But the righteous into life eternal. I know which one, which group you want to be in. The same group I want to be in. I want to be in the righteous group. Well, in order to be in the righteous group again, we got to realize that life is uncertain. We got to redeem the time. We got to realize that we're going to die one day, and we need to be right when we die in order that we can be in that group of righteous people. So he says the ones that did not minister to his needs are the ones that are going to be punished, he says, with everlasting punishment. Punishment without end. Don't get caught in that situation. So what have we learned so far? Number one, we've learned that life is uncertain. Don't ever forget that. Number two, we've learned that death is sure. Don't ever forget that. And since we're talking about punishment, number three, and we've also learned that eternity is long. Since we're talking about punishment and eternal punishment, let's go a little bit further. Don't ever forget, number four, that hell is hot. Hell is hot. Don't ever forget that. It's a place of torment. Y'all remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, I'm sure. And we know that story there. They both died, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 16. And the rich man who had laid at Lazarus' gates, poor beggar, the Bible says, or rather, the poor beggar who had laid at the rich man's gate, poor beggar being Lazarus. Rich man did not minister to his needs. The Bible says they both died. And the rich man, the Bible says, in hell, lifted up his eyes. The poor man was in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And the Bible says this in verse number 23. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. What does torment mean? Agony, pain, much suffering. Being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off in Lazarus' bosom. He was in torment. So much torment, until the Bible says that he wanted his tongue cool. Why do you want something cool if it's not hot? He wanted his tongue cool in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is hot, brothers and sisters. Friends and neighbors, hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place I don't want to be. Hell is a place I'm sure you don't want to be, because it's described as a lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 15 describes it as being a lake of fire. And fire is hot. I've never seen any cool fire. Fire is hot. It's a place of eternal torment again, a place where it will be torment and torment day in and day out, day in and day out, time without end. Revelation 20 and verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's everlasting. That's eternal punishment in the hot flames of hell. Don't ever forget that hell is hot. A place where nobody will be able to go over to the wall and do anything with a thermostat. You know, if you get too hot in here, one of the brothers will come up, they adjust the thermostat. You get cool off. Not so in hell. Bible says that the fire will never be quenched. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark chapter 9. Jesus says this in verse number 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life, he says, maimed, than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. That word quench means cool. It'll never be cool in hell. Then the Bible goes on and says, where the worm, verse number 44, dieth not. And he repeats it again, where the fire is not quenched. Don't ever forget that hell is hot. And if we don't forget that hell is hot, maybe it'll help us to live a better life so that we can escape that eternal punishment of hell. But the last thing I want us never to forget, since we've talked about the eternal punishment, the only way to escape that, again, is to be in Christ. And so don't ever forget that outside of Christ, there is no salvation. I'm thankful that God has provided for us salvation, but he has provided it in a certain place, and that certain place is in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you to think that you can be saved outside of Christ. To escape the wrath of God, we must be in Christ, because that's where salvation is. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, is in Christ. So again, I emphasize the fact that you need to be in Christ to be saved. Don't ever forget that. Salvation is in Christ. And salvation is in no other name other than the name of Christ. Now, the name of Christ, we're talking about the authority of Christ. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. neither is there salvation in any other. For he says there is none other name, none other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved because we have submitted to the name or to the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the authority to tell us what we need to do. After all, we're trying to get to heaven. We've never been there. He was there, came from there, gone back there. He ought to know what to tell us how to get there. I'd rather listen to Jesus, wouldn't you? He is the authoritative spokesman for God. Therefore, whatever we do, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17 says, whatever we do in word or deed, do all by the authority or in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. There is no salvation outside of Christ. No salvation when you submit to any other authority than Christ, because again, Christ is the authoritative spokesman for God. He tells us what God wants us to know. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, when once, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his dear Son. God speaks to us through his Son. He let Peter know that on the Mount of Transfiguration. When they got all excited there in Matthew chapter 17, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The Bible says, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of that cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Why? Because he's the authoritative spokesman for me. That is God talking. So Christ tells us what God wants us to know. So if we want to be saved, then we got to obey the will of God. And Christ is the one that gives us the will of God. He's the only way to heaven. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. And when one then listens to Christ, obeys Christ, Christ adds them, or the Lord adds them, to the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. When one become a member of the body of Christ, can he or she stop listening to Christ? No, ma'am and no, sir. We got to continue to listen to Christ. So whatever we do in our lives from that point forward, it's got to be by the authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we want to avoid eternal damnation. We don't want to go to hell where the fire is never quenched, where the worm never dies. We don't want to have that eternal punishment. We want to go where the righteous are going. They're going to eternal life with God. And so then, let us never forget these things that I've talked about this morning. How sad it would be not to take heed to those things that we find revealed in the Word of God. That's why, again, the Hebrew writer wanted these Christians not to forget, not to let these things slip. So again, he says, therefore, we ought to give the morning seed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Why? For the words that were spoken by angels, he says, it was steadfast. It was fixed. It was exactly what God wanted them to say. The words that were spoken, it was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience, he said, received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I want to say to us this morning, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, don't ever forget these things that I talked about this morning. Don't let them slip, but keep them in mind so that we can respond appropriately. Yeah, the devil wants us to forget. He doesn't want us to think that life is uncertain. He wants us to think that I'm in charge. No, we're not in charge. God is in control. He wants us to think that death, you know, you're gonna live forever in this life. Or he wants us to think that this is the only life that you got to be concerned about. He wants you to think, like they say about the dog Rover, when he's dead all over. When we're dead, We've just left this life, but we enter into eternity. And the devil doesn't want us to think that eternity is long, that is everlasting, that is never ending. He doesn't want us to think that. He put stuff in your mind like this, Dennis. Well, if you go to hell, you're going to burn up. Not according to the Bible. The Bible says that torment is going to go on forever and ever and ever. Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible. So don't be deceived by the devil. Certainly don't be deceived to think that you can be saved outside of Christ. Christ has a body, which is his church. So if you can't be saved outside of Christ, that means you can't be saved outside of his church. So you need to be in his church, the one that you can read about in the New Testament. He went to the cross, he shed his blood, and he purchased the church with his own blood. And he didn't do that for nothing. He did that so that you and I might have a means to come to heaven. Are you a member then of his church? I encourage you to become a member of his church so that you can live your life pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. How do you do that? Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. The Lord adds you to the church and then live a faithful life to Christ. Submitting to his authority. Live faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're forgetting some of this stuff. Somehow you're taking some of this stuff lightly. Somehow you're not, you don't think punishment is serious. It's serious, brothers and sisters. So if you're causing a revelation, if the devil is causing you not to take these things seriously, and you're just doing anything you want to do, you need to get back right center with God and do what God wants you to do. I need to do the same thing. Do what God wants me to do. So if you need to confess of an error in the way of which you repented, we want you to come. If you just need prayer for you or for somebody else, whatever your need is this morning, we want you to come. Why? Because we want you to go to heaven. I want to go. I want you to go with me. You ought to want to go. You ought to want everybody else to go with you. But in order to go, we got to take what the Lord says seriously and make it apply in our lives. So if you need to come this morning, we beg you to do that right now while we stand and sing. One that would come. The water is waiting and watching. Watching for you, watching for me. For you and for me. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Come home. Precious souls standing in our midst this morning.
I have sinned and repented, and I want to ask the church to pray for me. And I did it all to myself.
I want y'all to pray for me because sometimes I get weak and I think I'm doing the right thing, and I don't be doing the right thing, what God wants me to do. So y'all pray for me and keep me in your prayer that I become stronger and will not let Satan cause me to forget what God and pray that I really take God's word serious and do the work he had me to do.
Thank God so much for these two heard statements in which you have had a bow with me now as we pray on their behalf. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to call you our Father. We're thankful that Jesus is at thy right hand making intercessions for us. And so it is in his name that we come to you on behalf of these two sisters, dear God. Praying for Sister Nellie, dear God, that you would bless her with the confidence and the comfort of knowing that repentance of sin brings forgiveness from you, that you cast these things away from her as far as the east is from the west. So bless her then with strength, that she'll be able to continue to live a life that would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray also on behalf of Sister Julia, dear God, that you would bless her with the strength that she needs and the courage that she needs to do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Pray, dear God, that she may not, as she has requested, may not forget those things that she's studied, the things that she's learned, that she'll make them become a part of her life, that she might bear fruit and be what you would have for her to be. So thank you, Lord, for both of them and what they have shared with us this morning, and we continue to pray on their behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning, church. We've come to that portion of our service which is Holy Communion, wherein those that are in the body of Christ, that is God's kingdom church, living faithful lives, are able to commune, a fellowship with the Lord spiritually. The Bible teaches us that in Acts 20th and verse number 7, that the earlier church came together on the first day of the week to do so. Therefore, we follow that example even today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. We'll be looking at the 26th chapter. In verses 26 through 29, it reads, "So as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" This is the kingdom that I spoke of earlier, the kingdom church for which we are. Now Jesus has died. Jesus has arisen from the dead. Jesus has purchased the church with his own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. Those of us that are living as we should are able to fellowship or commune with Christ. Let us be spiritual individuals as we worship Christ at this moment. In spirit and in truth, let us think upon the sacrifice that Jesus paid as he gave us hope of eternal life. I'm going to ask the brothers to give thanks for the bread, which is symbolic of his broken body, and for the cup, which is symbolic of his shedded blood. Let us give thanks.
Mass in heaven, we are so grateful for that plan. We're grateful for the plan of salvation. We ask you, Father, to bless this bread, emblematic of our son's broken body. We pray that we can take of it in a manner that's both pleasing and acceptable to ourselves. We ask this, Father, in his name.
Amen. Father. service, which is giving. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, in verse number 2, it goes on to state, giving being a part of worship as well, that the early church also laid by the store on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, in verse number 2. I would read to you an example of the power of God to give to us, to furnish to us the things that we need in order that we might be able to give back to Him, so that through the church He might be glorified. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the chapters 8, and I'll be reading to you verses 1 through 5, says here, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And they did this not as we hoped, but they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And in verse 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, it talks about how we should give, the attitude that we should have. It talks about the fact that every man, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse number 6, starting at verse number 6, it reads, "But I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye always have all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work." We'll give God thanks for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. Dear God, we're so thankful.